Hi, folks. Before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to let you know some of the content on this podcast may not be suitable for some audiences. It's all in good fun, but we just wanted to let you know. So enjoy, have a great time, and on with the show.
All right, boys and girls. We hope you're wearing sweatpants today. So loosen them drawers up and have them dollar bills ready. Because the podcast boys are back. That's right, and just getting off the pole, covered head to toe in body glide, is Sexy Mike. Make it clap for him, Mike. Shake it. And you're wondering, where's Patrick the Hat Trick? Well, he's working hard for those 20s. He's in the champagne room with his hands full. Keep it working there, Pat. We miss you, buddy. Get the money while you can, my friend. But settle down, because you're in for a treat. That's right. He bends like a pretzel, and he's ready to show you his stuff. Put your hands together for the juicy man himself. That's right, baby. Now, right after him, you want to stick around for a toolsy. What the f***? I didn't know the music was going to run out. This is awesome, guys.
Keep it going.
All right, I'm going to keep going.
Keep it going.
All right. And right after him, you want to stick around for the man who's always carrying an extra large toolbox. That's right. It's CK DJ himself. Dan O'Toole. That's right. And I'll be here all night, folks, because I'm Engineer Jim, and we're going to keep you bopping and rocking all night long. Hit it, Mike.
You're listening to the Jay and Dan podcast.
Hey!
That is one strip joint I would never go to. Ever.
Can you imagine Patrick in the back with a in each hand, just like, I'm not making enough money to pay my rent. Please come.
This podcast is in memory of Patrick Muldowney. He has passed away.
So. Pat is dead, everyone. Pat died taking selfies on Santa Monica Beach. A couple of seagulls flew by and shit on him so violently that he swallowed some of the seagull feces and perished.
He had a good run, though.
Rest in peace, Patrick Muldowney. Let's pour one out for him, or not.
Oh, speaking of which, it's my one a week yerba mate time.
Patrick, by the way, is in Charlotte for the All-Star race.
Yeah,
for the
I think he
All-Star
arrived
race.
2 weeks before the actual race.
it's actually brought to you, by the way, the Jay and Dan podcast is actually brought to you by our good friends at Fox Sports Live. Fox Sports Live, it's our television program. It's on every night at 11 Eastern on Fox Sports 1. Tune
we
in.
We want you to enjoy the show.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of racing, joining the Canadian Wall of Fame this week is Canadian racing legend Greg Moore. If he was still alive today, he could have chose his series that he wanted to race in. He could have gone F1. He could have gone NASCAR. He could have still been IndyCar. Died in a tragic accident October 31st, 99, here in California.
Yeah. Not far from here in L.A.
It's one of those moments, if you're in sports, you know exactly where you are. I was working in Fort McMurray. I was at an Oil Barons game, and the news came in. It was just tragic.
I was working in the TSN newsroom as an editorial assistant, I believe. And I was just about to leave for Saskatoon. And yeah, I remember everyone was just totally floored by it.
When Kyle Busch hit the wall this year and there was no safer barrier, he broke his leg. He hit a cement wall.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Moore did. Like, that was way before safer barriers or anything like that. So if we had today's safety standards, that accident would have never happened.
Did someone suggest it specifically? Yeah. Should we mention?
Yes.
I don't see who that came from, but
we'll find that.
I believe it was on Twitter.
Right. Mike is handling the drops today.
Yeah.
And I dropped that.
Due to Patrick's death.
Since Patrick died from the seagull
Forget sex, buddy.
So, there you go. Mike doing a great job of the drop. So. Oh, I forgot to get you to, I want to make Dan's favorite segment, Rapid Fire. I want to make that a, like, get a jingle for it. So maybe next
So just
week.
Rapid fire.
Oh, from
like,
the questions. Yeah.
Go
yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. Dan's rapid fire.
So we
fire.
Assassinate the guest. On
yeah. Yeah. We want some sort of jingle to indicate.
Speaking of
rapid
assassinations,
fire.
I saw that American Sniper when I was flying up to Canada. What a flick. Clint Eastwood outdid himself.
Yeah.
Didn't he?
Wow.
I actually haven't seen it.
Oh, it was really good.
Yeah.
So long, my time period is up.
Didn't you also see a comedy that you weren't that impressed with?
I saw Horrible Bosses 2. That's a perfect flight movie.
Right. Garbage.
Because I didn't see the end of it. I don't think I need to.
No, I think you know how that wraps up. Jennifer Aniston just gets filled by all three lead actors.
Yeah, she plays quite a raunchy role. Well, she had the first one, too. I want to thank Hockey Manitoba for having me up for
yeah.
the 100th year anniversary.
Jay, up in the
you were via satellite.
I tell you, I thought it went really well. Thought the audience received it very well. And you had a great time. And so you were there, but you didn't go to the Palomino. I'm kind of disappointed in you.
I did tell everyone, though, after. I said, we're all going to the Palomino.
Yeah.
But they had a band playing. It was...
Let me guess. This.
No. This was the name of the band. And
Sweet.
I wasn't supposed to make fun of anything. They wanted
April 1.
A very, very clean event. The name of the band... Flesh Tone Rockets. Is that not a
Yeah.
Is that not a
Yeah, that's a
Flesh Tone Rockets.
I like that. That's, you know, it's a but, you know.
I've referred mine to as that a few
as
times.
As a Flesh Tone
sure,
Rocket.
Sure, yeah,
the
sure
Flesh
enough.
Tone Rockets. So, yeah, they rocked out. And
Fire away.
Interviewed a bunch of people on stage. So have you ever met Sammy Joe Small, Canadian goaltending legend for Team Canada?
I haven't had the opportunity to meet her.
Nicest human you ever meet. Tells a great tale. So,
Jim Pearl! What a surprise.
Out of nowhere.
veteran
stagehand. Jim Pearl. Jim, come on in.
Come have a seat. We've got a headphone, microphone for you. What is this? Jim brought me a Coke. He always brings me a Coke.
Thank you so much.
First
I
of
have
all,
this record at
Jim,
home.
This is incredible. Hold on. This is unbelievable. What do you have here for us, Jim?
Well, the greatest hits from Anne Murray.
This is incredible.
And she's
Jim Pearl.
Right? Up on the wall, right?
Yeah, she's there.
Right up top.
Yeah. Canada's snowbird is there, Jim.
She is.
Seriously, look at her.
What a
she's looking
fox.
Good, huh? We remember Snowbird, right?
You know what that is? That's a good head of hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, she looks
you know,
terrific
Jim,
there.
You'd like to know this. She's a very good golfer. Extremely good golfer.
Well,
she plays a lot.
You can tell by the haircut.
Yeah.
So Jim Pearl is our veteran stagehand. He's nearing his long run here at Fox, and we're sad to see you go.
Yeah.
But you still got a few months left in you.
Couple more
so
months.
Long, my time it is up.
You're going to hear random things
boy.
In your ear like that.
Yeah, that
so what Jim does during the show, you're like our psychologist. You come out and you know when we're upset. You know when to lighten the mood.
Yeah, you do.
We just take care of you. That's what we do.
So you've been working at Fox, around Fox for quite a while.
Too
you
long.
Worked on the Best Damn Sports
way
Show.
Way too long.
Oh, man.
Yeah, huh?
You had some good times in the Best Damn Sports Show, though.
Well, yeah.
It was like the Wild West then, right?
Yeah. It was. We had a group of people that were not normal as far as...
Dude, like John Sally.
John Sally, the crazy guy. All great guys. That was, you know, that was the best part about it.
Yeah.
Was that there was a lot of people involved, and they were all, it was fun. Every one of them was.
Tom Arnold was
Tom
there.
Arnold, great guy.
Yeah.
Chris Rose was a great guy. Who else?
And then you had
unforgettable people.
You had Peak Tweeden. You had Peak Leanne Tweeden, too.
Yeah.
How nice was that coming in every day? Maybe it's not a day you want to come in.
Yeah.
And then
there she is.
Yeah. Just lighting up the room.
And then our friend, Miss Thompson.
Oh, Carissa.
She showed up.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
that was cool.
Early days of Carissa Thompson.
Right.
Now you have,
before she got, you know,
she's
old.
Yeah. Hang her up. She's been ridden hard.
Man. Poor thing.
You're going to miss this place, aren't you?
right?
What do we have to do to convince you not to retire this fall?
What if we send an Uber to get you every day at home?
Yeah.
We stock that Uber with a nice cocktail.
No, okay.
And then you just come out, hang out with us.
Well, you know, I was thinking of that, too. I think I will pay you money just to hang out with you guys.
You don't have
you know,
to pay
I'll,
us.
We'll
we
go to dinner.
You.
But this work, go to work, I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, and it's overrated.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to get away from it. I mean, that's what's so weird about it. I've 40 years or 41 years of doing this stuff, of trying not to work, and I did it.
Yeah.
And then that's what's really kind of cool, and I'm so happy about it.
So you're dealing with the same thing that David Letterman's going to be dealing with. He's like, what am I going to do when I'm retired? What do I do?
You know, people worry about that with me, you know, and I have, it doesn't come up. I can screw around better than anybody.
Yeah, me too.
I can go through a day of just not doing.
You got the cats to look after?
Exactly. Yeah. I got cats.
What are the cats' names?
The LA Times crossword needs
puzzle,
to be done.
I got the puzzle. I got cats.
What are the cats' names?
I got Syracuse. Great guy.
Why the Q's? Is he running the show? There's always one cat that runs the show.
He is the alpha male, and he is such a He is just, unfortunately, just a badass cat. And then two others just, you know, they just try to...
They're hobo cats?
Follow the lead.
They just like, get out of the guy's way. And Syracuse, he is such a and he's like, walks, and he does just one of these, you know, and then, you know, he doesn't do anything.
Yeah,
he's just faking it.
He's trying to assert his dominance.
What? You know, and the other cat's like, you know.
Now you have your favorite show to work on throughout the years? You've done a million things in Hollywood. I mean, you've worked on so many different things.
You know, the favorite thing, I think the best time I had was as a road manager. I was a Mitzi Gaynor's road manager. Do you remember Mitzi Gaynor?
Does anybody tell us who she is again?
She's an old Hollywood star. She was the star of South Pacific, the movie South Pacific. She was a dancer, singer from the 50s, really, and early 60s, did a Las Vegas act. And she would go on the road, and she had, like, a crowd that would always show up. And she was amazing as far as she made a living doing that.
And
going to every,
like,
little town, you know, and doing that. That was fun.
See,
that was
sounds like the Kraft Celebration Tour. Like, that was our favorite thing we ever did. Like, going on the road is the best.
Right.
Jim knows this, too. Like, just being on the road.
Right.
Well, this is helping us tap into the Mitzi Gaynor fan base now. Quite a few
Mitzi Gaynor there fans.
It's all in Florida, but...
Florida and Arizona.
Yeah.
Some parts of Arizona.
That's it.
And then you had an encounter, and I hope I'm not speaking out of turn here, with the woman who played Jan Brady on the Brady Bunch.
We were friends.
Yeah.
We met at a, I used to run a camera at commercial auditions, and she came in to audition for something, and we struck up a little thing. But
okay, no,
short-sighted, and that's it.
No, I know you don't have to give details. But when she comes in, are you like in your mind at the time? You know, this
no,
was
I didn't
years
know
ago.
Who she was.
Oh, really? You didn't
I
know
didn't,
who she was?
I didn't know.
Okay.
In fact, the girl I worked with that time, you know that. That's really?
Yeah.
No, I didn't watch that.
And
show.
Was there just instant chemistry kind of thing? Yeah.
Okay.
Jim Pearl. Brady. So you survived how long here on this very lot?
Since 1997, this building opened, I think, and I was a stage manager for the first show that happened on Studio B.
What was it?
What was the first show?
It was the, you know, like...
Oh, NFL and Fox?
No. It was like a Sports Center thing. I don't know what it was called.
Oh, Fox Sports News.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. When Olbermann came here.
Well, even a little before...
Before that?
Yeah, I can't remember
like
who the
Final
were.
Ticket it was called or something like that?
I don't know. It was just...
it's all a blur.
Yeah.
I mean, they've tried a million highlight shows here and... None of them seem to be worse.
Final score. Final score.
Final score?
No, that was recent.
That was upstairs somewhere, like here or something.
I was with
Siciliano. Yeah, I can't even remember. It was like Kevin Frazier, I think, was the
age. Oh, yeah.
That kind of thing back then. I can't.
So pre-Fox Sports News.
So you survived that long on this lot. How do we survive that long?
Give us the secret to longevity. We don't want to get
kicked out. It's
not
going to happen.
just pack it up
no,
and get out.
Just forget it. No, it's short-lived. Forget it.
There's no tips?
No, you're done. It's not going to happen. What's going to happen to you guys? No, seriously, you're going to become big here, and then you go to... ESPN and become big there.
Oh.
And then that's
does it. That mean we have to move to Bristol?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, you will.
I don't.
Yeah,
I don't.
That's okay.
We like it. Like, you're like us. You're not from L.A. You're from the Pacific Northwest.
Right. Seattle.
And so you came here and never wanted to leave. Like, it's the weather.
Yeah. Well, that'll happen to you guys, too. You're already, what, 2 years here?
Yeah.
Right?
Maybe 2 years in July?
Wow, just like this is going to be 10 years.
Yeah, it does
will.
Fly.
It just goes like that. And it's a great – I love L.A. You love it.
Too. I wish we could play "I Love L.A." by Randy Newman right now.
Let's play it. Let's sing it.
Jim, before we let you go, I want you to pick your favorite Canadian on the Canadian Wall of Fame.
Wow. Yeah,
there's quite a few to choose from there.
I saw...
we got some covered up over
old,
here.
Gosh, you got some good ones.
Yeah, we do.
I think Martin Short. Yeah. I, you know,
what a guy.
He was great when he came
and
in,
he wasn't he? He
was what a class
guy.
Act.
Yeah.
He was a good... Oh, Dan, boy, you got...
It's a lot of Canadians out there.
A lot of Canadians.
Jim, thanks for joining us. For stopping by. We wanted to have you on for so long.
Well, what are you going to do with this?
Play it.
Going to crank it.
Okay, crank it up.
We're going to play these bad boys. How did you have two copies?
Well, they're just lucky, I guess. I was very lucky.
These are very nice.
I think he got a tip from a friend of the podcast.
If I could have this dance for the rest of my life.
Handsome Andy picked these up for us? This is pretty nice. I like it. We'll have to have Handsome Andy on, too. Jim, thanks so much for stopping by.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you. This was awesome.
Okay.
We'll see you out on the set.
We'll see you on stage A or B. Forget. Thanks for this, Jim.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Pearl, everybody. What a legend.
Awesome. Awesome.
So glad we got him on that.
How nice is this? The Anne Murray Records.
So if you see any of our stuff online, Jim Pearl appears in a lot of our things that we do on the show because he just goes with the flow.
He's just a terrific human being. Hey, Dan, I went to the doctor this week for a physical.
Oh.
Hadn't been to one for quite a while. And I turned 40 last year, so my wife insisted that I get the old prostate exam.
Yeah.
And that's interesting. Have you, Jim, ever?
Weekly.
Yeah. Wow. Just your wife. Plays the doctor.
Oh,
and...
absolutely.
Well, I just thought it was because you always
It's not always the finger.
Right. It could be any digit, really.
Really.
Yeah.
Now, you didn't go after you had a Dodger
Kitchen
dog.
Kitchen utensils, whatever.
No, I didn't go after a Dodger dog. I had to fast.
Oh, my God.
Well, I ate, and then I had to fast. I couldn't drink. Normally, I get home, and I have a few drinks. Couldn't do that, so I was jonesing for a drink. I get in there. My doctor's hilarious down here. He just talks nonstop. And so it starts out, you know, like the normal physical, and then it's like in the end, he's like, okay, we got to do the prostate exam. So he's like, so, you know, take everything off, and I'll be outside, and I'll come back in. All right. So I stand there. So I'm just standing there naked, you know? Like, I'm just, like, standing in front of him, like, just, like, I'm just standing there. He walks in. He's like, hey. But it's so amazing how doctors are just, doctors are just like, eh, whatever. I've seen all this shit a million times before. But the weird thing is I'm standing there, and then he, and I'm just going to demonstrate with Dan, he, like, just, like, my junk's right in his face, and he just gets right into my junk, like, as if he's just going to give me a blowjob. And just standing there. And then I got to do the turn your head and cough
thing. Yeah.
I've never done the turn your head and cough.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool. And then, you know, inevitably, he's like, okay, it's time for the prostate. So he goes, elbows. So I'm like, okay, right, okay. So get down, lean the elbows right down, ass sticking in the air. And I'm kind of like, you know, gesturing my ass away from his face, thinking
delicious.
He'll just put his arm sort of around, you know, he doesn't want my ass directly right in his face like he's going to give me a rim job. But no, he's like, no, swing it right around here. Like, swing it right around. So he's literally sitting there, and I'm like backing my ass into my doctor's face. And then I hear the, you know, it's like ominous. Like, you hear the, like he's lubing up the fingers. And then it just, slid right in there. And it was over faster than I thought it would
be. Is it all good?
Everything's good. Yeah, no problems there.
All good.
But I thought maybe he'd linger there a little bit, you know?
He's got it. He's got to check it out.
Well, I wanted him to, but he didn't. So I felt a little bit cheated. So, anyway, everything's okay. I just thought it was weird.
Did he ask you to relax at all?
No.
Because every time it's with me, it's like, hey, just relax.
You're puckering
up. I can't.
It's too
tight. No. Just relax. It'll be all right. I can't relax.
Yeah, it's impossible to relax really, in that situation. Yeah. I was just amazed that he wouldn't just do it where, you know, he just kind of went like this, like that. No, he's just like, bring it around here. Straight up.
He's a professional.
Yeah.
Where is the banana hot dog?
Have you done that yet?
I'm going to have to, I guess.
Yeah.
Get ready.
Everybody's doing it.
You got to do it.
It's a fact of life. You got to
do it. I'll get mine
done
on the podcast.
You know what? That would be nice.
Yeah.
That would be a public service on your part.
Can Mike do it?
No.
I'll wear a glove.
No.
What would we have to pay you for Mike to stick his fingers up?
You're going
to
have meat.
But
lot.
He's not a doctor. He doesn't know what he's looking for.
No, but just in general. Say we're just
like a blockage there, right?
Like, just say what. Give us. There's got to be a dollar figure that would enable us to film Mike sticking his digits up your bum hole.
Why not, eh?
My God.
Not answering that question.
Oh, wait. We'll get back to
hey,
that
we have a Body Glide update. Remember we talked about Body Glide last week? My brother sent me a text, and he says, 15 guys at work use Body Glide and swear by it, and we walk 10 to 20 miles a day.
Man, we got to get these Body Glide guys as a sponsor.
And remember we played that song last week? My brother also followed up with that. He says, can't believe someone did a remix of Stroke Me, and you didn't bring up the fact that mom requests that song in every dance she ever goes to because she has no idea what that means.
Stroke Me.
Yeah, like Stroke, that song. Like that's what they did the remix to. I don't know who sings that song.
Stroking.
Clarence
Carter?
Didn't Billy Squire do the original, right? Billy Squire was the original.
Yes, exactly. Hey, can we get back to Winnipeg for a sec?
Sure.
We had something that happened on the podcast. I appeared on the Illegal Curve afternoon radio show on TSN Radio.
I've heard of it, yes. In fact,
really nice guys.
I went out with one of those guys when I was in Winnipeg.
Really nice guys. Yeah. And this happened during the radio interview.
Just on a few albums.
So here's the thing. I was watching a Springsteen. We have a station in the States that always shows concerts, and I stumbled upon an old Springsteen concert. Is that someone's pubic hair on the desk here? Is that a pubic?
That might be one of my beard hairs, Dan.
But I don't have great hair, so follicles. So that could very easily just be one of my hair follicles.
Anyway, guys.
So we had pube on the desk.
Now, having met both those guys, they do... The one guy has like a really thick beard.
Did not match his beard hair.
A super hipster beard. Didn't match either of their beard?
No.
Beards?
Why are pubes following me around? That's the only question I had.
I don't know. I can't answer that question.
We have some some viewer emails. Viewer, listener. This is from Philip Bowen. Dear Jandan, my brother got me hooked on your pod a couple years ago. We are both American listeners in Michigan and seriously love the show. Uh-oh. I also have to thank you for getting me introduced to yerba mate iced tea. I tried one and now I'm hooked. I've been ordering cases of this liquid crack from their site. Much like Toolsy, I can now hardly function without some ice cold yerbs coursing through my veins. With an 18-month-old daughter teething in our house, yerbs keeps me going. My wife was skeptical, but now she loves yerbs too. Not so much the pod. Sorry, boy. She thinks Jay talks about breasts too much.
Breasts? I do?
I don't think you ever talk about breasts.
I don't think I talk about tatas, do I? I might have.
Without the pod and yerbs, I really don't know what kind of society we would actually be living in. Your number one fan in the mitten, Philip B. Take it easy on Mike. He means well.
Yeah. I do mean well.
Yeah.
P.S. Wondering if Engineer Jim has a connection to Engelbert Humperdinck.
Oh, well, let's do a quick early version of 6 Degrees of Engineer Jim.
That's a tough one.
Man, that's a really hard one.
I could not name a single one of his songs, but I think my parents own like 7 records of his.
I was amazed. A buddy of mine went to see him in Edmonton like 3 months ago.
Reed?
He's still Joel Gottlieb, CTV Edmonton.
What a guy.
News
Love
anchor.
That guy.
He went to see him. I'm like, wow, Engelbert Humperdinck still touring, still bringing him in Edmonton. Maybe at the River Cree Casino.
The closest I have to that is I have a connection to Neil Diamond,
ooh,
and I have a connection to Tom Jones.
But I'm sure they've all played together.
Heavy hitters
I've worked with both those guys, but not in just briefly, like when Neil did like, I don't know, 10 nights at the Greek Theater. I was on the crew that recorded all those shows. And then I worked with Tom Jones, and I want to say it was the great, who is the producer of the Beatles, everybody?
George Martin.
George Martin. With Tom Jones for one day. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
So George Martin, I'm almost more interested in George Martin. Like,
yeah, it was awesome. Him and his son but it was really before his son was really getting into producing. He was young and He was in the States, and he was with him, and another mixer, another engineer. I don't remember the guy's name.
So wait, Jones comes in, just bush everywhere, tits all over, women following him.
Yeah,
he is the man.
Yeah.
He's,
what's he like?
He's still
is he
the man.
Good,
yeah,
good guy.
Great guy. Yeah. Great guy.
And like the young women still like him, and the old
he
women.
Seems like totally. He would smell like brood aftershave and sin. Or
yeah, it was kind of like Irish whiskey and aftershave. Yeah,
right. Was his last hit "Sex Bomb"? I think it was.
Might have been.
Yeah, he did a record with Third Man, Jack White's label.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Oh, that's kind of cool.
That's
that could
cool.
be a hit.
I like that.
Yeah, it was cool. I don't remember what record it was for. I don't even remember what it was for. It was like a blur. And I couldn't believe. You know, I'm sitting here the whole time. Friggin' George Martin right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, George
you know?
Martin, Tom Jones.
And Tom Jones, one of my earliest memories as a kid, my mom was infatuated with Tom Jones. So she had all his records and Streisand's records. And, you know, I kind of grew up basically, you know, I think my first records was like the Partridge Family or something like that, you know.
And he still plays like the Glastonbury festivals and all that.
Yeah.
Like he gets thrown in with
totally
like the new
he can play with anybody. Yep. Anyone.
What if how much money would it take for us to film Tom Jones sticking a finger up your ass on the podcast?
Now you're on to something.
There you go. Now we got something. Hey, when Neil Diamond, when you did those 10 nights, same set list every night?
He changed it up a little bit.
A little bit.
A little bit.
Mostly not... did the hits though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And the whole show was practically hits. And you know, everybody in the crowd standing, singing every song. Oh, he's a master showman. And when he records in the studio, he usually has a lot of friends and family, brings an audience in. I don't know if you guys saw any of that Sinatra stuff.
Yeah, the doc?
Yeah, but he would have an audience, like close friends and family sometimes, sitting in the studio while he was singing with the orchestra. Well, Neil Diamond liked to do the same thing.
Like to have an audience.
Yeah.
Just like us.
You know, it's motivation. You know what I mean? You're not just in there singing in a booth. You know what I mean?
The juice is flowing.
Yeah.
That's why I like to have Periscope going when we're doing Fox Sports Live every night at 11 Eastern.
You should have Periscope at that doctor's visit.
Oh,
that would have been a hit.
That would have been weird. We should call Shregs because we didn't catch up with Shregs last week.
While
he hosted America's pregame.
Dialing up Shregs, we have another viewer email.
Let me read this one,
guys. Make sure you send us your emails. Just visit jandan.com. Send us your emails. We love to get them. And we're eventually going to start a viewer email of the month, and you'll get a gift package.
Now, if you go to jandan.com, contact Jay and Dan right on the top there. Just click that and send us an email. This subject is Toolsy the Storyteller. It's from Robbie Steves. It says, "Hey, Jay and Dan, huge fan of the pod. After you got abused by Jay and the radio host on last week's pod, the radio host being Kevin from Kevin and Bean, I just want you to know that I get abused just as bad as you do for my lack of execution on my storytelling. Keep the stories coming, Toolsy. I appreciate them. Us storytellers got to stick together." That's from Robbie Steves. I don't know where he's telling stories, just randomly telling stories to friends.
I'm just
family.
A pig farmer from Peterborough.
And they're not going over well, but thank you, Robbie Steves. That's got to feel good to you, Toolsy, right? Some
Robbie,
solidarity?
Robbie on Team Toolsy. You know who's a great storyteller?
Lil Sketch.
Botticello coming through big time.
Wow, Patrick. Hope you're doing well in heaven, bud.
Rest in peace, buddy.
Hey, by the way, speaking of David Featherstone, who's on this camera, I don't know if we can get a shot of him, Mike, and he's got a new Jay and Dan t-shirt, which I love. And you got to follow Jay and Dan on Instagram, at Jay and Dan. Go to our new Instagram site. We're going to be showing all sorts of cool
it
stuff.
It says, the Jay and Dan podcast, good for your ear holes.
Yeah, it's... We got a, and you're wearing obviously the Abluit shirt, and then Botticello's rocking the Why Not A shirt. So
Why Not A?
Can get all that on jayanddad.com. Shregs, we're hawking our merchandise. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing great, guys. I miss you. You know, I think Bill Simmons' departure from ESPN is dominating all the American sports media blogs, but I've gotten hit up by quite a few Canadian sports media blogs asking, where have you been on the podcast?
Yeah.
I told them, no reason to be alarmed. It's not a salary thing. We're good. It's just a bit of scheduling. I haven't been able to get in there. But, yes, sports television, question mark. They were hitting me up nonstop, and there were a few other big Canadian media sites that have been asking me, but I told them, no, no beef, we're all good.
Was that your attempt to say A?
Yeah, A.
Shranks, we haven't spoken to you since the NFL draft, which is your Super Bowl.
I loved it. Dan, I haven't spoken to you since the 300-person affair you hosted at Hockey Manitoba night.
Yeah.
That's right. It was awesome. It was actually 700.
Draft was great. Unbelievable night in Chicago. Unbelievable week in Chicago. And then the NFL just blew up this week with this Patriots stuff. So the NFL, there never is quite an offseason, and I love being a part of it.
Shregs, very quickly, I know you're bored of answering this, but we got to get your take very, very quickly. You've been on Fox News. You've been on Fox Business Channel all over talking about Deflategate. Your opinion about the four-game suspension and the fines and the two draft picks being taken away.
Okay, the penalty was just about where I thought it was. I was on TV a bunch the last couple of days, and even beforehand when the investigation came out, I said 3 to 4 games seems about right. What's going to be fascinating now, and we're recording this podcast on a Wednesday evening, is how the appeal process will work. It's not to get into all the legalese of it all, but they just hired some real powerful lawyers, including Jeffrey Kessler, who has been described as a hemorrhoid in the NFL's ass the past couple of years. He is the ultimate litigator when it comes to these type of things. He'll be working with Brady. They might get all this overturned. I don't care about Brady. I'm more fascinated in the Patriots versus the NFL storyline, because this is the premier team in the NFL, and you know the Saints are not a premier team, but when the NFL threw the book at the Saints, they kind of turned their back on the league office, meaning NFL Network. You know, you watch a Thursday night game, afterwards a winning player comes over and hams it up with Rich Eisen and Steve Mariucci. The Saints, they get on the bus and they go home. They don't participate with the NFL Network. They don't acknowledge the NFL much. They kind of run by their own rules. It's one thing if you're the New Orleans Saints. It's another thing if you're the New England Patriots and the defending Super Bowl champion. So very curious to see how this all plays out. Does Goodell show up week one and grace the Foxborough crowd? Yeah, what kind of welcome is he going to get? Do they lift the banners on Thursday night? So interesting. And, Dan, I know you love money. And I know Dan O'Toole loves to know how much money people are making. Well, Robert Kraft and Roger Goodell are very good friends, or they were very good friends, and I think this relationship is forever fractured, and we're talking about the 1% of the 1%. And when you get those type of guys and those type of egos and suddenly you're on different paths, it could be interesting. The Patriots could be a real rogue team, and they could be wearing jerseys that are similar to the how did Jay describe it last week when you're talking about his bowel movement? The Oakland Raider home jersey. That's what they might be moving forward. And I think it's fascinating. They've always been the villains of the league. Now they can be like the uber villains. Just in time for Star Wars.
Shregs, Terry Bradshaw appeared on our network on Tuesday, and his soundbite got picked up by a lot of people. He said, if Tom Brady is so innocent, why isn't he just giving everyone access to everything, his cell phones, his computer, all that? Your take on that?
Yeah, and Teddy Wells, who is the investigator on this one, said, I wasn't asking him to hand over his phone and leave the room. I was just asking him to show us the communications around this particular topic. And when it comes to that, I mean, if he's not asking for his phone, he's like, just show us. I think Bradshaw's in the right here. Like, just show him what you got. And if you're guilty, look at them and say, okay, you got me. It's one game. Maybe it's a couple, you know, it's a couple slaps on the wrist and a couple draft picks. But the fact that Brady was so defiant in not giving up this stuff, and the fact that Goodell and his entire office let Robert Mueller, when they were being investigated about the Ray Rice video, see everything and just hand over their stuff, it's kind of one of those things where it's like, well, why shouldn't we play by the same rules as you guys? So, man, Bradshaw came out swinging. I love that he did it on Fox Sports, and I love that Fox Sports One was making news today.
Shregs, on a lighter note,
it's not that heavy, dude. As Brady said when they first did this isn't ISIS. I mean, it's not that heavy.
Well, but it's so fascinating because now it's like Boston fans against the world now, it seems, you know? Like, it's like,
yeah, and I love that because it's like, you know, these Boston fans, they can't have it both ways. They want to play the, oh, we're just a bunch of blue-collar Southies that never win, you know? And then in the same breath, it's Boston fans who have won, I guess, you know, the Bruins have won, the Celtics have won, the Red Sox have won, the Patriots have won. They've all won in the last decade. And I feel like I'm just talking to a bunch of Bill Simmons, you know, wannabes who are, you know, oh, you know, it's us against the world and we've had it so bad for so many years. It's tough to play the blue collar, we've had it so bad and the world's against us routine when you win every year.
I think the more frustrating thing for me is they would have won anyway. And all they've done is sort of tarnish their legacy now. And whether they can't give a shit about that, maybe they don't give a shit about that. But for me, it's like there's always now going to be a valid argument that they cheated. Not once, but twice, and maybe more than that. And then everyone in Boston says, well, everyone cheats. But no, everyone didn't get caught like you guys did.
They don't, and you're right. And, you know, it's funny. There's always been two narratives with Brady that are very conflicting to me. One of the narratives is, sixth round pick out of Michigan and no one gave him a shot and he was, you know, not the most athletically gifted guy, but just has always worked the hardest. And then there's the other narrative where it's, okay, you're all jealous of him because he's, you know, the richest man in the world and he's got Gisele Bündchen and he had, you know, whoever else before that and goes to the Met Gala and all this stuff. So they kind of conflict. Is he the small town aw shucks guy who's made the most out of nothing, or is he the guy that we're all jealous of? And now I think there's a third narrative, and it's this guy who might be cheating. And I think it's fascinating because we hold these athletes up on such a pedestal. Now, he hasn't done anything morally wrong where you're going to say, oh, my God, you know, this is something I can't even look at this guy. He didn't do Ray Rice. He didn't do Greg Hardy. But that said, how do you hold him up on the same pedestal as a Troy Aikman, as a John Elway, as a Joe Montana, which he's always been in when there is this giant asterisk now hanging over his name?
Am I the only one who feels bad for Tom Brady because the ball boys were making fun of him between each other by text?
That's the hidden narrative that we haven't discussed in detail.
I love that. I love that these ball guys are being described on like Fox News as low-level employees and like they're scum of the earth, these guys. Everyone's like, oh, and two equipment managers who are basically the bottom of the barrel human beings in this earth. They're talking about Brady. I was laughing.
Okay, this is the lighter note I wanted to talk about. Shrek, yeah. We have something for you. Here we go. Mike Botticello, your best friend here at Fox, is going to play just a quick clip. Here it is.
Okay. New menu items. Take a look at this.
Here at Olive Garden, you can now get our signature breadsticks as the bread to our delicious sandwiches. But you'll also continue to get unlimited breadsticks in addition to the breadstick sandwich. Then try our new never-ending breadsticks even after you leave the restaurant deal. We'll make sure everyone goes home with an old shopping cart full of all the piping hot breadsticks you can fit in your car. And with our new all you'll ever eat again is breadsticks deal, we'll send a trained Olive Garden baker to break into your house and prepare batch after batch of warm, toasty breadsticks. Even after you say, that's quite enough breadsticks, he'll still be there cranking out breadstick after breadstick until you call the cops. Breadstick Garden. When you're here, you're breadsticks.
That's good. Yeah, so I'll give you a little backstory on this because now I'm tight with the Olive Garden folks. Here's the story. You know, obviously, as I came on and kvetched to you guys 6 months ago, look up that word, guys. Google kvetch. All right, so as I kvetched to you guys about 6 months ago, a Wall Street financial firm came out and had this whole report about how they give too many breadsticks away and there's not enough salt in the pasta and they're just, you know, whatever. They were killing my beloved Olive Garden. I said, just back off. Well, it turns out a new financial group is now working with the Olive Garden guys at Darden, and what they're doing is they're saying, let's make the most out of these breadsticks. Let's embrace the breadstick. And I think it's a wonderful idea. So now we're going to get chicken parm on breadsticks. Oh, my God, I can't wait. And I'm at Fox Business earlier this week, and there's a guy named Anthony Scaramucci, who you guys might need to bring on the podcast. His name is Anthony Scaramucci. His nickname on the street is The Mooch, all right? And this guy is a big, heavy hitter in Wall Street. Michael Lewis would describe him as a big swinging you-know-what. So he's a big hitter. He has a show on Fox Business Channel on Saturdays, and he had on the guys from Olive Garden earlier this week. I watched this live. The first time I heard about this was me on TV watching, hearing about a chicken parmesan on breadstick sandwich. My mouth was watering. I think I just ate every imaginable food possible, just imagining the wonderful thing that would be this beautiful sandwich.
And, Pete, aren't their restaurant sales up? Like, Olive Garden is back. Like, they were on a downturn, but now they're back.
Yeah, of course they are, because they're the restaurant that won't quit. I mean, they're unbelievable. They are the rags to riches story that you should all be getting behind. And I'll say this: there are a few Olive Gardens in New York City. What?
Mike hit a wrong sound drop.
Oh well,
it's the
Hextall, that's why.
It's Bob Ross.
Hey, where's Patrick this week?
He's dead.
Is he really or no?
He died.
that was a sheepish laugh. I was like, is he really?
No, he's in Charlotte leading up to the NASCAR All-Star Race this Saturday. We made sure to fly him out a week in advance.
Oh, that must be nice. That's good. Okay. Anyway, man, if I could get some of the jobs they give away at that place. Anyway,
Shrags,
speaking of the Olive Garden, it's it's delicious, it's wonderful, but in New York, it still doesn't have that same street cred as, say, some of the fancier chefs, but I will still walk in that place, I will still put my $10 down, I will still enjoy that salad and breadsticks. And if any of your listeners are ever in New York, I'm telling you, tweet at me, I'll get you in there, we'll go together, we'll have a wonderful night.
We need to make that an annual tradition, Jay and Dan pod listeners go to New York and have lunch with Schrager. Maybe that's like a contest we could do.
Well, maybe we should try this. Schrags, we'd love for you to be the spokesperson for Olive Garden, but if we got you as an extra in one of their commercials, would that work?
God.
Oh, my God.
So good.
Yes, and I would be smiling my face off.
They'd have to do 20 takes. You'd just be looking at the camera every time.
No, it's great. Guys, who's sponsoring this podcast? It absolutely should be the Olive Garden.
Yeah, it should be. They would be good. They would be good.
Hey, I have one last story before I go.
Shregs, it's them or Body Glide, one of the others. So
yeah,
we'll
Body
see.
Glide. I heard that. The email last week. Wow. When a CEO comes and emails you directly, you know you've made it. I'm sitting in a very, very fancy restaurant on my birthday, okay? It's my wife taking me out. I'm almost ashamed to be in such a nice place. I'm underdressed, the whole thing. And I'm sitting there, and it's one of these places where celebrities go. Jay, you've been to this restaurant, Maialino, okay? Big spot in New York City.
Gramercy Hotel,
and
right?
I'm looking around. I'm seeing. My neck is craned. Who am I going to see tonight? Am I going to see one of the Real Housewives, maybe? I don't know. I'm so excited. And sure enough, this guy comes over to my table, and he's staring at me. And my wife is like, this guy's creeping me out. What's this story? And he just goes, hey, Shrags? And I go, yeah? And he's like, big fan of the pod. I go, what? I'm so happy. I'm like, what are you talking about? He goes, I'm from Winnipeg. My name is Dave. And he goes, this sure beats the Olive Garden, huh? And that was blown away.
Unbelievable. I love it. And then what, did you guys go out for drinks after? Maybe hit the 21 Club or something like that?
Well, that's the funny thing. I wake up the next morning, and he's making me coffee, and I'm just like, wow, we had such a night. It was wonderful.
Love it, Peter, and great to have you back on the podcast.
Danny, I love you. Jay, I love you. Botticello, I even like you.
Yeah. You're a great man,
Schrager. And the great addition of the Peter Schrager podcast.
Though. Molly Hatchet. What are you trying to stump, Jim?
What was that, Mike?
Great podcast this week. Guest Mark Leibovich and Ben Volin.
Yeah.
Peter Schrager talk. Yeah.
Yeah.
Boy,
he really gave you a plug there.
Yeah, man. Well.
That's it.
Okay.
Pete's gone.
See you, Pete.
He's had it.
Bye, guys.
Peter Schrager, you can follow him on Twitter. He's always breaking news in the NFL at P Schrags. That's P-S-C-H-R-A-G-S. P Schrags.
Schrager bomb.
Can we clip off for next week how awkward that was?
Yeah,
ending that
crickets.
Interview? That was
gave
great.
Me nothing back.
That was great.
I kind of feel for him. He didn't know if it was over. He was on a cell phone.
No, that's just the best. That's just the best.
I think I took it personal.
Before we take off, because we have a hard out today, this Jorge Posada ump farts, what is this? I've never heard of this.
Do we have the clip, Mike?
Yeah.
Here we go. Jorge Posada was asked.
TMZ.
This is a TMZ clip from today. Jorge Posada, recently retired Yankee catcher, talking about umpire farts.
They're the man who called the balls and strikes.
Balls
they called
the
outs.
Right there. Misty! Mulp. Mulp.
You're out!
Hey,
ooh, foul ball!
Fair! Foul tip. There it is.
A strike!
More at first base, not catching.
Really?
Yeah.
Did anybody, I have to say, anybody pass gas in your face?
Yes.
Who was it?
More umpires than players.
Really?
Yeah. But I returned the favor back. Good to see you, man.
Anyway, congrats on the book again.
Okay, here's my thing about that. If you think about where the umpire is lined
horrible.
Up, wouldn't Jorge be farting at the umpires more than the umpire? The umpire is just farting into nothing.
Yeah, but his the butt is right at the catcher level, so he's chewing that.
Maybe it's coming around to him, but he's behind him, so maybe the gas is going that way.
Who thinks to even ask that question?
TMZ.
TMZ. All over it.
All over on
TMZ
farts.
Sports. All over it. Before we go, very quickly, we got one more 6 degrees of engineer Jim to ask Jim about.
Oh, yes.
Courtney Love, in light of this montage of heck Kurt Cobain doc, which you said you watched the last half hour of.
Yeah. Yeah. kind of a depressing doc, I think. But
a little bit.
The whole thing is really sad. I mean, come on, Kurt Cobain was.
But the first two hours were neat, or the first hour was neat because you got a real. You explored the mind of an artist.
Yeah.
Like, it was neat in that sense that you had all these audio recordings. He animated it. And so you really got to see how he, like, developed
but
his
you
song.
Knew what was gonna, how it was going to end and just felt so bad
yeah,
for him.
Just, yeah,
true enough. True enough.
In France.
It's like Titanic.
So, Courtney Love. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Unbelievable. Now, we don't have music because Patrick's dead.
Okay, so it's a little bit, a little roundabout way.
Okay, okay.
I actually have a couple of ways.
Okay.
One is, I am friends with the Zappa family.
Oh, the Zappa.
Right. And Gail Zappa is friends with, Hustler.
Oh, Larry Flint.
Larry Flint.
Yeah.
Gail's friends with Larry Flint, and I have met Larry on a few occasions with the Zappas and stuff like that at parties and things like
that. We need to get in that in a future podcast.
And Courtney Love was in the Hustler movie there with Woody Harrelson.
She played his wife, right?
Yeah, she played his wife.
I think she got an Oscar nomination for that.
She did, yeah. So I'm trying to remember the movie. I'm sorry, guys.
People versus
Larry Flint.
That was
catching me off guard. So that's a connection.
That
yes,
a connection.
That'll do. Because I'll say this: now you probably saw a couple clips of Courtney in that doc. She has the manic nature of an addict. Like, it's uncomfortable to watch her.
Yes, definitely.
Like, just like,
but she's just all over the
just
map.
Just all over the map. Chain smoking. Can't really get her thoughts together.
Yeah.
What's she doing now?
I think it. You know, I think she was definitely in that dock. There were moments where it sure seemed to me like she was using.
I mean, when they were in the apartment together for that year.
Yeah.
I think
even when they were with the baby.
Yeah.
Like in the bath and all that stuff. It seemed really kind of gnarly, some of that. But the other connection also through that movie would be hanging out with Willie Harrelson on Willie Nelson's bus.
Whoa.
And
time
Courtney, Willie, Woody.
Yeah.
Okay, wait. We gotta cut that off because we gotta explore that story next week.
Sure.
Woody Harrelson. We'll
and
get
she
is
she's touring with Lana Del Rey this summer.
Oh yeah, right. Lana Del Rey. And, my least favorite artist for the last 15 years.
Her guitar tech with Hole too is a buddy of mine, and when we all play golf, we go out, it's like the Van Halen Road guys, the Guns Road guys, and the Motley Crue guys. It's a good time at the
golf
course.
Oh, that's a 1 degree then. That's just a guitar tech.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to get into Woody and Willie on the bus in the next pod. But
quick research on Engelbert Humperdinck. He had a show, the Engelbert Humperdinck Show, and Tom Jones appeared on that show.
Come on.
Boom, there boom. We go. Boom.
Botticello brings it.
Crack research.
Thank you. Thank you for helping me out with that.
Jim, thank you so much for being here, offering your expertise and your wonderful stories about the world of music and beyond.
My pleasure. I wish I could have knocked that intro out of the park.
You did. And I felt bad we didn't let you chime in on the Brady discussion, but I knew you wanted to because you love your Pats. Engineer Jim at Engineer.
You're the number one cop on the force, Bobrovsky.
There it is. At Engineer _Jim. Dan already mentioned Peter Schreger. At Micklehouse is Mike Botticello. Dave Featherstone, are you on Twitter?
No, he's not.
You got to get on Twitter. What a great guy. At Jay and Dan Pod. And a big reminder for you, we are now on Instagram, and it's just at Jay and Dan. At Jay and Dan. We're going to post a ton of stuff from the podcast. In fact, maybe Dan and I will take a picture today of us with our Anne Murray albums. Go there and like that. Follow us on Instagram, at Jay and Dan. JayandDan.com if you want to contact us. Thanks for listening to the pod. It was just a pleasure to have you here.
I just signed on to Jay and Dan on Instagram today.
That's all you have
great
to do.
Follow.
Just a click. It's so easy.
It was awesome.
Engineer Jim also on Instagram if you want to follow.
Love Anne's face here. The f*** are you looking at?
Yeah.
That's what she's saying there.
I'm Anne f***ing Murray.
You got you want to go?
I'm f***ing Anne Murray. I'll skull f*** you. Thanks for listening.